What date it is, and you're ready to...
I'm talking. I need a big mouth.
I'm talking.
It's the Fisher Body Historical Team, and we're in the Labor Relations Conference Room. It is Thursday, November 3rd, and it is 10:10, and we're interviewing Mr. Bill Klein. Bill, would you give us your name and your address and tell us how to spell your last name?
My name is William George Klein. Spell my last name K-L-E-I-N. Address is 14745 West French Road, Pewamo, P-E-W-A-M-O, Michigan, 48873.
And today, interviewing Mr. William Klein is myself, Linda Johnson, and...
John Fiedler.
Doreen Howard.
Marilyn Coulter.
Doug Rademacher.
Cheryl McQuaid.
Well, thanks for sitting down with us on such short notice today. Can you remember your first day coming into the plant and how old you were and why you decided to come here?
I was 18. The first day I came in here was just after the big strike of 70. I heard that they were hiring. I was thinking about going to college, and I wanted to get some money for college, and... you want to hear a real interesting incident?
Yes, I would.
I came in, and they hired me as soon as I went through medical. They said, when can you be here? As soon as you want me. Next morning, okay, fine and dandy. I had probably been to Lansing 3 times by myself in my life. I found my way here during the daytime, but the next morning, I didn't have a clue how to get here in the dark. And I was wanting to be here plenty early, and I start driving down Grand River, and I drove up and down Grand River for a half hour. I couldn't find this place. I thought it was on Grand River. I finally end up going to Motor Wheel. I went into Motor Wheel and asked them if they knew where Fisher Body was. So they directed me from Motor Wheel to come back over here so that I could start. And I actually started, even though my seniority date says 1-10-71, I actually started the 17th of December in 1970.
And where were you traveling from to come to work?
All the way from Fowler, Michigan, which is about 25 miles northwest of here.
So did you get to work on time that day?
Yes, I did, because actually I left 2 hours before I was supposed to be here.
And what department did you start out in?
Started out in the trim department on the A-line, installing door regulators.
Now, what was your thought when you walked into the plant and saw where you were going to work?
A bit overwhelmed by the size of it. I don't know if I'd ever seen any kind of a factory operation before. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit overwhelming, to say the least.
And how'd your first day go?
Very fast. They went through showing me how to do the job, and I couldn't believe how difficult this job turned out to be. And, of course, everybody on the line was taking advantage of the new kid on the block, which made the day interesting.
Did they give you pranks? Did they tease you? What did they do to you?
I suppose mostly pranks, the stuff that everybody has to go through in your initiation coming into a place like this. I can't specifically remember anything, but probably if you'd ask where the restroom was, they'd head you in the wrong direction and different things like that. I can't remember specifics, but just nothing real terrible, just little pranks.
And did you have problems getting around the plant, or was it pretty easy for you to come in and out of the plant?
I hitched the ride on the back of a guy I knew going out to the parking lot, and the next day, I had an uncle who worked here. The next day, I asked him, because he worked close to the area where I was, asked him if I could meet him in the parking lot and follow him in. And then I spent the second day working my way back and forth to make sure I could get back to where I had parked.
And what was your uncle's name?
Larry Klein.
Have you, are you married?
Yes.
And you have children?
Yes, I am married. I have 5 children, and I have 6 grandchildren. And my seventh grandchild is due the 23rd of this month.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you serve any time in the service?
No, I didn't. No.
And what is your job here at Fisher Body now?
Right now, I am the air conditioning and refrigeration repairman.
Is that a trade you learned here in the plant?
Yes, it is.
And how did you get into the skilled trades?
I was riding in with a gentleman who said he was going to be going into maintenance. And by asking him about what it was, I then went down and applied for the apprenticeship. But that was just before the oil embargo. And then I was laid off for a couple of years during that time.
What were the dates around that?
73 and 70. Was it 74 and 75? I don't know. I know I was laid off in 74 and 75 pretty much all the time. Come back just a little bit different times. But I actually came back in and have basically worked since the beginning of 76. So it must have been 74 and 75 when I was laid off for quite a while. Mm-hmm.
Doug Rademacher?
Yes, Bill, you said you came from about 25 miles out. Did you drive yourself in or did you carpool ever?
After the first week, I carpooled, and it's been a pretty much continuous carpool with the exception of the last 6 or 8 months.
That's quite a few years. Can you share what was it like spending your waking up moments with neighbors, and what was it like to count on other people to get to and from work every day?
Another good experience I had when I was first hired in here. Of course, I was just 18 when I came in here, and so it was the fall, late. It must have been in early spring or something, where I always slept on the way in, and the fellow who was driving hit something in the road. And I remember waking up, and they get out of the car, and they look, and they go, "Oh, I think he's dead." And they got back in the car, and they took off. And being half awake and half asleep, I thought they had hit a person. And I'm, like, terrified. Why would you run into somebody and just take off? Of course, it was a deer. But I rode with them for 3 months. And then I was laid off, and then when I was called back, I started working and driving in with guys pretty much my own age, and I had pretty much grown up with all these guys, so sometimes it would be interesting going home at night, depending upon where we decided to stop before we left Lansing.
And what were some of those places you might stop?
The probably the most popular place was the Willow Bar, but they don't call it the Willow Bar anymore. They call it DeLuca's. So even when people now say, "We're going to DeLuca's," my mind registers Willow Bar and not DeLuca's.
Does the plant name have the same thing in your mind? It's been called BOC. It's now Lansing Car Assembly as it closed. What is it to you?
It's always going to be Fisher Body. Every time I'm asked where I work, I say I work at Fisher Body. It'll never be anything but Fisher Body to me.
Are you traveling on to the new facility that's being built in Delta?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I've been assigned out there since May the 9th, but I was loaned back here because I was the only one working in the refrigeration department, so I had to do all the decommissioning of our refrigeration and air conditioning equipment here. So between working out there and working here, yeah, I've been out there quite a bit, as a matter of fact.
So will that be Fisher Body 2, or will it be
No. The
new Delta?
That's going to be Delta.
So what is your feelings about the closing and the name, the loss of the Fisher Body plant?
You know, I was thinking about that today before Cheryl asked if I wanted to be interviewed, because from what I've been told, today will probably be the last day that I'll be actually doing any work in the refrigeration department. And I thought, you know, I've been doing this job, well, actually for 12 years, but coming into this plant for 35 now. So there's a lot of memories. It's going to be tough leaving it. It really is. I've had my own little area now for the last 12 years, and you sort of get used to a pattern of doing things. So I think it'll be a little bit of a difficult change for me.
Cheryl McQuaid?
You said you hired in on the regulator job. What job did you do after that? Do you remember?
From door regulators. Oh, my gosh. Where did I go? I think I went to door windows. From windows, I was laid off again. Then I ended up out in the old cushion room. Boy, I hated that place. Wow, that was bad. What was it like? It was real. The worst part was when I hog-ringed my finger that one time. And, of course, the repairman said, if you ever hog-ring your finger, don't go to medical. They'll tear you up because I'll take care of it for you. And he did. He just took a side cutters, cut it, pulled it out. It was a very busy job. A lot of small little things you had to do, so I wasn't too crazy about that. And then I got laid off again and went to the body shop in quality control. Then I was laid off again and went over. Actually, I worked over at Ohl's for a while after that layoff. That place was really bad. That was very busy. I only worked there for about 60 days, then was called back here. Then, where did I work? Oh, I worked installing door wires. No, that wasn't door wires, body wires. And then I got laid off again. And then, when I was called back after the oil embargo of 74 and 75, I went to paint. And then I came back to trim, installing quarter glass, and then I got into the apprenticeship.
We've been all over the plant.
Yes.
Bill, you just named a lot of jobs and time, active time and off time. Would you go back to something you said? You called the cushion room very difficult place to work, and you mentioned a hog ring gun. Is there hogs, or would you explain exactly what that is?
Hog ring gun was a device that they actually used to connect the fabric to the metal frame, and they called it a hog ringer. If any of you are familiar with ringing hogs' noses on the farm to keep them from rutting, it was similar to that, but it was an air gun that actually put these metal clamps onto the between the cloth and the metal itself to hold the cloth to the metal.
Bill, Marilyn Coulter, you said that you went into the apprenticeship. Can you tell us what the apprenticeship is and how long you had to do that before?
Okay, I got into the pipe fitter apprenticeship. I went in May of 78 into the pipe fitter apprenticeship. It's a four-year apprenticeship, and I can't even remember how many hours. It seems like there was, I honestly can't remember how many hours of schooling was involved with that, and there was a certain amount of hours, too, of actual work time you had to do to complete the apprenticeship, but I'm not exactly sure. It took it's usually a four-year apprenticeship. I think I was completed with it in about 3.5 years.
Bill, would you tell me about the working conditions from the time you hired in up until the time that we've got to the closing of the plant? Do you remember when you hired in and the atmosphere and the conditions of the workplace?
On the production lines, of course, depending upon what job you had, some of the working conditions aren't, well, at that time, weren't real good. The first job I hired into, the door regulator job, was not considered a very good job. There was a lot of bending. It was a job you could easily cut yourself on. Compared to what I see they do now with the Kevlar gloves and different things, I don't think safety was as big a concern back then. You got cut, you just tape yourself up, and you kept on going. It wasn't that much of a big deal. And it's, for me, it's not real easy to remember the production days because I've spent so much time now in the trades. Comparing some of the other departments I've worked in, I would say by far that the trim department was the easiest and cleanest and quietest department that I worked in compared to body shop. Paint was terrible because of the paint fumes and the noise. And the cushion room was just... I can't think of anything good about the cushion room when I worked there. A lot of people really liked it, but I just couldn't stand the cushion room at all. And once I got into maintenance, probably the biggest changes that have happened in maintenance since I came in as an apprentice are the way the departments have been split up. When I first came into maintenance, there was a central maintenance crib, and everyone worked out of that crib. And working out of that crib, you really got to know everybody you were working with, within your own trade at least. And we always had the pipe fitters, millwrights, and electricians together in a central area. So you really got to know all those people. But I believe back in the mid-80s, and it could have been around the time they changed the plant, supposedly to BOC or whatever name change they made for it, they split the maintenance areas up to more of an area maintenance type thing. And so the trades guys, who were at that time a lot closer and there was more camaraderie with them, that was sort of lost. And just within the, probably in the facilities, what they call it now, the facilities department, that still remains. But where before you knew all the guys who were in the trades, at least on your own shift, it isn't like that anymore. I think a lot of that camaraderie has been lost as to what it was like back in probably the mid-80s.
Bill Mellon, Coulter, did you have that type of camaraderie with production, or what's the difference between working in production and being a work family there and working in skilled trades and having a work family there?
In production, within your own small group, especially if you had jobs. The last job I had on production was installing quarter glass and back glass, and I was working with two other guys. And you better get along with the people you're working with because everything depends upon all of you working together. And I can remember, too, from the other jobs that I had during production, within your own small group, the group of people closest to you, it was better to have a good working relationship with them. Every once in a while, you would find someone who just didn't fit in. But I would say by and far, people that were the closest to the jobs to you, you got to know them a little bit, and you got hopefully got along with them. Because if you didn't, it didn't make for a real good work environment. And by far, most of the people I worked with were all very pleasant to work with. Mm-hmm.
Now, you said you had an uncle here. Did you have any other relatives that worked here?
I had actually three uncles that worked here. Paul Klein, who was Larry Klein's brother. He worked down in the body shop in quality control. And George Koenigsknecht, who worked in the cushion room, I think. But he didn't work here too long before I... I think he retired shortly after I was here. I also, my younger brother Tom, hired in here in 78, just after I went into the trades.
As a member of a team on the line or as a skilled tradesperson, did you participate in any of the annual dinners or events that we would celebrate as in our own way, as in the holidays or birthdays? Or
yeah, not so much on production, but once I got into the trades, I think probably because of the time factor, There was less time on production. You had to fit this into your half-hour lunch schedule or whatever. And if they had any of these parties outside of the working hours, I usually didn't partake. But during the working hours, especially once I got into the trades, we'd have meals where, especially Thanksgiving and Christmas, any of the retirements for the people, I would always partake in any of those. If there was food involved, I wasn't far behind.
Did one person schedule the party, or do you remember where they held it at when they would invite people in?
Usually the parties were held in the maintenance area down in Building 6, and that would be right in between the pipe fitter and electrical cribs. Sometimes it would be down in the millwright shop, and you could be talking anywhere from 50 to a couple of hundred people who would be attending a lot of these parties, whether they were, especially the retirement parties where you got the bigger numbers, but for the Christmas and Thanksgiving parties, there would be just basically the people in the area, which could be up to a couple of dozen people.
Did people bring their own foods in? Was it a picnic affair, or was it a catered affair?
Usually at first, it was more of a potluck thing, but I think as time went on, people found it was a whole lot easier just to have someone else do the cooking, whether it was going down and getting a bunch of pizzas or chicken or whatever it might be. So it was probably both, where at first people brought it in, and after a while it was sort of a catered.
Do you remember the wagons?
Definitely. Especially on the line, I remember the wagons. That was great to look forward to those. I don't necessarily say I ever went and got anything too much off the wagon, but we still call our breaks wagon time. And, I mean, we haven't had... How long has it been since wagons have been gone? Is that...
80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I mean, even when we talk about going on break, we wouldn't say so much I'm going on break as it's wagon time, and we would go to take our break.
I wanted to ask you, this is Doug Rademacher. Bill, the population's changed over the years that you've worked here. What was it like in trades, working around women and minorities, as opposed to working on the assembly line where there are a lot of women and minorities?
The women and minorities, I would say probably it wasn't until the mid-80s that they started to come into the trades. So I think there was actually more of an exposure to not necessarily minorities as in men, but I'm speaking more specifically about women, whether they, whatever their race may be. It wasn't until probably the mid-80s that you could start to see changes where there were more women coming into the trades. I don't think minorities were so much a factor as it was gender-related. And on production, though, of course, there's always been more men in the plant, but on production, I think that there wasn't as much of a distinction as there is in the trades between the gender as to whatever it may be.
How do you think it, Marilyn Coulter, how would you think it was for them, given the fact that it was like women coming into an arena that was predominantly all male? How did that fare?
There was definitely resistance at first when women first started coming into the trades. I believe the first pipe fitter apprentice we had, it was either Luann or Beth. I'm not sure which. Was it Luann? There was resistance. I don't see anybody necessarily treated them different in front of them, but I would say probably remarks behind people's backs. It was more something you'd hear when they first started coming in, but after a few years, that all died down. And there isn't, to my knowledge, you don't hear any of that anymore. But we're talking over the last 20 years, the change that has been made.
Bill, do you have a best memory about coming into the plant, or a best memory from your work life, or something you did that was a good memory for you?
Actually, I do, and it just came to me as you were asking me. Probably one of the things I am the most proud of that I did, we had a number of refrigeration units for the cafeteria for all the walk-in coolers, and they were water-cooled condensers. And I was asking one of our suppliers if there wasn't some way, because they were on the energy conversation or conservation kick, some way that we could get away from using water and going to just an air-cooled system. And he said, yeah, we've got this air-cooled condenser you can put on the roof. I says, gosh, we've got 8 units, though. How are you possibly? I could just envision this huge thing over the roof. No, he says, this will be quite small. So I had to figure out how to connect all of these units to this one unit that was going to be on the roof. And if you could look at the piping for that I had to do, that is probably one of the things I am most proudest of, that I was actually able to make that conversion. And I mean, we saved millions of gallons of water. And I got a pretty hefty suggestion check out of that one. So that's another reason why it probably sticks in my mind. But probably of everything I've done, that's one of the things that, as a matter of fact, when they allowed us to bring cameras in here, I went over and took a picture of it. Aww. So I guess it does stick in my mind as something.
That's great. Now they're going to tear it all down.
That's all right. I got my money. They've been using it now for like 8 or 9 years, so they got more than their money worth out of it, too.
Yeah. Have there been other suggestions you've submitted over your years as a employee here?
Yeah. I think one other one, an electrician and myself, we got paid a little bit more on that. With the exception of those two, most of them have just been small suggestions that I've submitted. And
you submit it because you think of something that would benefit the plant, or is it, how do you come up with your ideas?
A lot of them just being work-related, because you're working on the equipment and you see, maybe it's not even a piece of equipment you're working on, but you see where this could be a benefit to the company, or it might be a safety suggestion where you see, gosh, this would be a better way to do it. It might be a safer way to do it. So it's pretty much a hands-on experience thing of what you might just run across, and it sort of sticks in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Doug Rademacher. Bill, it's like a family working in here. Do you consider your coworkers brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you can develop some pretty close relationships with the people you see every day, if you're willing to, you know, pursue it. I guess if you were just to hide in a corner, you wouldn't necessarily have many relationships with people. But I don't know how a person couldn't help but do it. Number one, it's going to make the job easier for you if you are a little bit, at least, friendly with people. And you get to know things about people, too. I mean, you don't just walk up to a person and ask them a list of questions like this. That's for sure. But over the years of working with people, you get to learn quite a bit about people. And you actually find out in working with these people, you have outside interests, and you might start doing things with these people outside the plant.
What are some of the things that you've done outside the plant?
Specifically, I've went on some hunting trips with people, fishing trips, We have went and visited some of our co-workers with other co-workers when they've been in the hospital, and those are the three things that come to mind off the top of my head.
Have any of these friendships resulted in families doing things together?
No, I can't think of anything. No.
Doreen Howard, you talked early on about when you were 18 years old that you hired in here and that you finally hooked up with kids that were your own age that started coming in here at that time. Is any of those people still employed here, and are you still friends with them, and do you do anything with them?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Gary Weber, who was a millwright, he and I had been driving in together. We started driving in together when we were on the line, and then he went into maintenance. And once we hooked up again on the same shifts, we started driving again together. And up until, I believe, about 9 months ago, when he went on special assignment, we had been driving in with each other. So, and actually with Gary, of course, we had a relationship, a pretty good friendship before we started working here. But you ask, as families, have we done anything? And we did, as families, do things together. So I guess it's hard to separate, you know, when you're working with someone. But so, yeah, there's been things like that. Another guy, as a matter of fact, one of the guys I used to drive in with, Bob Wessner. I don't know, do you know Bob Wessner? Tall, skinny guy. He used to work up in paint. He's retired now. But he dated my sister for a while.
Did you introduce them?
I don't know if we really introduced, or he just, when he'd come over to pick me up or something, that was before I was married, he probably saw her and became interested. So.
You've talked about all this sharing rides back and forth to work. Have you ever considered of how much money you save by sharing rides over the years?
It has to be considerable. I just noticed since Gary and I quit riding together how my gas bill went up, especially considering now I live, actually I don't live in Fowler anymore. I moved all of 10 miles away from Fowler. So it's close to 35 miles for me, which isn't terribly far, but when your gas bill doubles at the price of what gas is now, it becomes a considerable amount. So I wouldn't have a clue how much I've saved, but in years past, we had as many as four or five people who would drive together. So when you only have to drive one day a week, you know, your savings of gas over the years is considerable, I'm sure.
Doreen Howard, have you ever used your skills outside of the plant?
Oh, yeah. First as plumber, pipe fitter, and then also in air conditioning. I'm constantly having people ask me, well, could you come over and do this or do that? When it comes to plumbing, I've done a lot of plumbing for my parents, for my brothers, actually for myself too. We built a cabin from the ground up in the UP a few years back. And I pulled all my own permits and did all the work myself, even going to the electricians I knew to find out how to wire everything according to code so it would pass. When it comes to air conditioning, I've installed units for people, but they got to be family because I don't do it on the side. I just do it to help somebody out.
Have you, Doug Rademacher, have you used any of that to help in your community with your skills?
Down at church one time, I did a small job, but it's pretty insignificant. So I can only think of one time where I actually used that down at the church.
Doug Rademacher, were you active in your union at all? And did you appreciate your union? Did they support you? Could you share a little bit about working and your relationship with the union?
I didn't actively attend our monthly meetings. I would go to any of the special meetings that we had when it came to the trades people. I don't believe there hasn't been a single contract I haven't voted for. I know for sure that I wouldn't have enjoyed all these benefits I have had it not been for our union here. I'm sure of that. And there was a couple of occasions where I had to call them to my rescue when I may have stepped out of line a little bit. But that was a rare occasion. So I wouldn't say that I've had a lot to do with the union. But I know in the last few years, our committee people and zones have been more than willing to help us out with any of the problems we may have encountered.
Do you have a favorite bargained benefit that you appreciated the most?
Health care.
Bill, you Doug Rademacher. Bill, you said you have a couple years college. Did you use the tuition assistance to do that?
Oh, definitely. Was when I first came to work here, the idea was to earn money to help pay for my college. And then once I was here, I found out they changed the name of it. They had a different name for it at first, and you had to show them that you actually passed the class, and then they'd reimburse you. Mm-hmm. And I used that plus the, I'm not sure what they call the program now. So, yeah, all the college I have was paid for because of my working here.
So, Marilyn Coulter, Bill, so what were you initially going to go to school for?
I was going to go, and my major was natural resources.
So what made you stay here?
What made me stay here? Getting married and having two small kids and so many expenses that once I got into the apprenticeship, I decided that there was no way, even with a natural sciences major, I would be able to make the money I could working here in the trades. And finances won out, and I think it was a good choice.
So there have been no regrets?
There have been absolutely no regrets in staying here, none whatsoever.
Doug Rademacher, back to the tuition assistance. Has your children been able to use, have you had that, where your children have used your tuition assistance for
your
dependent children?
My oldest son, who now is a mechanical engineer, was able to get the last year he was in school, I believe, was the first year they came out with the $1,000 tuition assistance. My second son, who now is an electrical engineer, was able to get it for 2 years. My third son, who is now a forester, he was able to get it for, well, gosh, I don't know if he was able to get it when he went and got his master's or not. I don't remember for sure about that. I know he got it for at least 4 years, and my other two daughters as of yet, well, my youngest is still in high school, so they haven't had, oh gosh, no, I think my oldest daughter, 1 year too, she also was able to get with a tuition assistance.
That's a lot of money.
That's a whole lot of money, yeah.
Another wonderful benefit.
Yes.
Did you know of any of your coworkers that enjoyed music in the plant and would share it? Any skilled trades people? Or
you're saying enjoyed music as
music as playing instruments in the plant?
Lyle used to play harmonica, and it was either Ed or Ernie Worrell used to play. Ed played harmonica. Lauren Lehman used to play some sort of a stringed instrument. I'm not sure what that was. What was the group that Lyle was in? They were a bluegrass group. I'd go listen to them once in a while. I know there was a couple of sanitation guys in on that, too.
Where'd they play it?
This was... Were they the Bluegrass Revival?
Yes.
Okay. I think this was down... I could be confused. It seems like there was a little park right along a creek someplace where I heard them play one time. Also, I heard some of these people play when they used to have, maybe they still do have it, I haven't heard of it recently, they'd have the talent thing for Lansing site-wide people, where I heard various...
You went to that?
I think for 3 or 4 years, yeah.
And where was that held at?
I don't know. There was like at some school on the north end one time, and was it Otto French or something? And Otto, okay. I remember that place. There was a couple other places I went to, but I don't know, someplace here in Lansing. Mm-hmm. I'm not real. You know, as many years as I've worked here in Lansing, I don't come to Lansing too often other than to work, and I'm out of here.
Doug Rademacher. Bill, would you tell me about the time when Fisher Body was Fisher Body, and then there came a time when the plant across town was joined. Would you talk about supervision, what it was like to work here, and did management change the way they supervised when they opened up Lansing-wide from just Fisher Body?
There was a big change back when they actually merged Chassis and Fisher Body with each other. It seems like our management doubled, and the way they actually managed to... the biggest thing I can remember was the when they actually split up the areas into trim, body, whatever, in maintenance. And it seems like our management went from one supervisor to all kinds of supervisors, and the central structure of what was there and everybody kind of having a handle on what everybody was doing disintegrated into nobody really knowing for sure what the other person was doing. So I would have said, personally, I saw it more as a disorganization than a reorganization, from my own point of view.
Did you ever have a favorite boss in your years here? And what made him that?
I would say Ken Eichelberger was probably the favorite boss that I had. He was very much a people person. He could deal with the guys, and he didn't talk down to you. The fact that he actually came out of the trades, too, I think made a difference, so he knew what it was like out on the floor. And I think us just knowing that, it was easier to relate to him that way, too.
Bill, there's been a push to change the way we do business again, and it's called team concept. What's your opinion of that, and is it something you see working in the future?
We started out with QWL, then we went to QWL, renamed as something else. Then they renamed it to something else, and I can remember us shooting ping pong balls and building things with Tinker Toys and shooting golf balls and trying to hit quarters. And I've been through a lot of different programs like this, and so now we have this team concept. I don't want to sound negative, and I've been through a lot of schooling in the last few months as we're getting ready for Delta. So I'm going with an open mind. But if all they're doing is just putting new paint over some old wall that's had all this other stuff there. I don't know. I will give them this. I'm going over there. I hope it works. If it works like they say it's going to, it's going to be great. And we, as a union, and we as GM, have got to make this go. And this, I think, is the best shot we've got. So I'm going with an open mind, but I do have some reservations.
So you said the word QWL, that's quality of work life. You said you've been through some new education, and that's GM, GMS. Is this what you're talking about? Is this possibly the new paint? The paint to cover an old situation? Or what?
That's the way I see it. But like I say, I don't want to sound too negative either, because I do have to admit, from the people on top over there, Randy and the different people that I've had to deal with over there, they say they're going to make it work. It's got to come from management. We down here, us peons, I believe, are more than willing to make it go. But they're the ones that are going to have to change. I'm willing to change, and I'm going to go in with an open mind. I hope it works.
Doreen Howard, you're one of the last few people here in the plant. What's your feelings as you begin to see the plant closing and all the people are gone? And how do you feel about that?
I think over the last few months, as you see less and less people in here, it's been sort of a gradual change. So even though there's a little bit of mixed feelings, it's going to be kind of sad to leave this. I'm very excited about going to the new plant. Very grateful that we have a new plant to go to. So I think it's going to be a lot easier transition, knowing I can go from here and that I have completed my job here, which was very important to me. I wanted to make sure I could get all of my refrigeration equipment taken care of like the EPA says we should, and I was able to do that. So I actually don't... I feel like I finished my job here. I'm ready to move over there. And actually, I'm feeling pretty good about the whole move.
Marilyn Coulter, Bill, you've been here for a number of years, and you've seen a lot of changes. You've met a lot of people. We do have some people that hired in 95, so they have like 10 years under their belt. What's the best advice you would give to them?
Boy, this is a volatile time in the auto industry. Oh, boy. I'm glad I'm where I am and not where they are. What kind of advice could I give them? Wow. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that right now. I really don't. Actually, I have a sister who hired in 95. I have a brother-in-law who actually I referred and was hired in here. I am a little concerned about their future in the auto industry.
So now, Marilyn Coulter still, you said that you had a sister and a brother-in-law that you referred into. Would you want to expound on that a little bit and tell us a little bit about what referring somebody means?
They came up with a program, I'm not just sure how long ago, when they knew there was going to be openings in the plant. Of course, any job in the auto industry is so highly sought after now because of the pay, the benefits we get. I mean, they'd have people standing outside this plant from here all the way to the Capitol trying to get jobs. So they gave any of the people who worked here a chance to submit names of either family members, friends, someone you knew, and they would be considered first. I'm not just sure the logistics of how they did that, but somehow these people were pulled out of this pool and they went through the selection process, and if they made it, they were given the opportunity to be employed here.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill. This has been very interesting, and I'm glad you're going to the new plant with us.
So am I.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.